Good morning. Sounds like a nice little miracle story. Yeah? We're familiar with them. It's one of the sort of standard forms of the gospel. Form criticism is built on identifying them. We know them well. They're spread across all four gospels. There are plenty of them. What makes this one any different? Well, this is a good example of the way that Mark, as a literary architect, if you will, tells the story of Jesus by telling the stories of Jesus. It's not just the fact that he tells miracle stories like everybody else, but that he places them in structures so that they throw light on one another, help us understand something more than the surface of the story itself. This is the second cure of a blind man in Mark. There are only two. There are a bunch of miracles, but the only two involving blindness. And the other one, if you remember, was 6 weeks ago. This is the one just before the beginning of that little play about discipleship. Remember that one? It's less well known. Bartimaeus gets copied, Matthew and Luke and John. The first one does not. The first one, this is the guy who Jesus spits on his eyes, lays his hands on him, and it doesn't quite work. He sees people, but they look like trees walking around. Jesus has to take a mulligan on it. He lays his hands on him again. And the second time, he sees clearly, and Jesus sends him home. Now, after the third act, we have this story. This man sees clearly at once and follows Jesus on the way. Mark is telling us who we are and who we can become by telling us who the disciples were and who they became. All during this story, they've been very much like this first blind man. They see Jesus, all right. If they didn't, they wouldn't be following him. They'd still be back home working as fishermen, trying to earn a decent living. They believe in him. Peter's confessed him. You are the Messiah. But they see him like a tree walking around. Indistinctly. Blurry. If I take my glasses off and look at somebody in the back, that's the way they see Jesus. Features all indistinct. They can see him as Messiah, but not as Son of God, because they're not prepared to accept that he is Son of Man, and he is the one who must suffer. They don't want to hear that. And all during the play, they don't want to hear that. Every time Jesus predicts the passion, they do something incredibly stupid. Ducking out of it. Peter, no. The disciples are arguing about which one of them is the greatest. James and John striving for the front seats. They just don't get it. But they will. Not within Mark's story, but the listeners to Mark's story know that they did. All through the gospel, they remain totally obtuse. But it's after the gospel, after Christ's death, after his resurrection, after the coming of the Spirit, then they finally begin to catch on. And they see, and they follow. They begin to act like Bartimaeus. They throw aside their cloak, all the nice warm wrappings they've got around them to protect them from reality. And they come to Jesus to ask to be cured of their blindness. And once he cures them, they follow him on the way. We've heard that phrase before. It occurs again and again in this whole two-chapter section. On the way. Well, it's the same for us, isn't it? Most of the time, we're like that first blind man. You wouldn't be here at this hour of the night on a Sunday morning if you didn't believe in Jesus. It's not yet 10 o'clock. Day hasn't begun. And this is the only day you've got to sleep. But you're up and you're here. Surely you believe in Jesus. So do I. I could have made a little bit more money than I'm getting paid now if I'd chosen some other career. If I didn't believe, I wouldn't be here. And yet, most of the time, I think, we're like that first blind man. We seem like a tree walking around because we don't want to face standing up for the things that we have to stand up for and whatever that might cost us or whatever that might entail. We want to be disciples of the Messiah. We're not too sure we want to be disciples, certainly not companions of the Son of Man who goes up to Jerusalem to reveal himself on the cross as Son of God. We back away a little bit from that. Got to be honest with ourselves. That's who we are. But we have within us the potential to be like Bartimaeus, to really be disciples, to throw off that cloak. Jesus has been telling us, if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. It's our nice warm wrapping that's really interfering with our chance to be saved. It doesn't save us. It stands in the way of our salvation. Those who seek to be first will wind up being last, as those who set themselves last and are the servant of all who wind up first. Get out of the wrapping. Throw away the cloak. Spring up and come to Jesus. Be cured of your blindness. It can happen. And then follow him on the way. What does that mean for each of us? Will be different. Different times in your life, it will be different. Where do you have to go? What do you have to do? What burdens do you have to bear? What kinds of self-centeredness do you have to let go of? It's different for you now than it was 5 years ago. I can't tell you exactly how to apply it. Have to figure that out as you go along. But we all have to do it. We all have to listen for that voice. We all have to throw away the wrapping. Toss off the cloak. Come to Jesus. Get your sight. And then follow him on the way. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.